11 o'clock here at CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Coming up is Flat Baroque. Thank you for joining us. Hello and welcome to another edition of Flat Baroque. I'm your host, Dinah Jansen. Today we'll listen to Gaetano Donizetti's Anna Bolena, the second opera in Donizetti's collection of four dealing with the Tudor period in England. Anna Bolena is a two-act composition accompanying an Italian libretto written by Felice Romani. Premiering in 1830 at Milan's Teatro Carcano, Anna Bolena has a comparatively small cast, including Anna Bolena, written for a soprano, husband Enrico, or Henry VIII, Giovanna Seymour, or Jane Seymour, Anna's lady-in-waiting, Lord Rochford, Anna's brother, Ricardo Percy, the 6th Earl of Northumberland, Mark Smeaton, a musician, Hervey, a court official, amongst a cast of courtiers, soldiers, and huntsmen. Today we'll listen to selections from the London Symphony Orchestra and the John Aldus Choir's epic 3.25-hour performance of Anna Bolena in 1972 at Abbey Road Studios in London. Julius Rudell conducted the performance, which features the vocal talents of Beverly Sills, Shirley Verrett, Robert Tare, Stuart Burrows, Patricia Kern, and Paul Plischka. Set around 1536 at Windsor Castle, we arrive now at Act One with three scenes. And in the first scene, we find ourselves in the Queen's apartments at nighttime. In her chambers, Queen Anne has become aware her star is dimming as King Henry VIII, or Enrico, is falling in love with yet another woman. Queen Anne calls in her trusted confidant and lady-in-waiting, Giovanna, or Jane Seymour, to vent her frustrations. Indeed, Queen Anne's despair has affected everyone's mood in the chamber, and she calls on her musician Mark Smeaton to play a song on his harp to bring everyone good cheer. And when he's finished, the queen says to herself that the embers of her love are still burning and that she remains unhappy in spite of her splendor. She departs for her bedroom and everyone else leaves the apartments except Jane. At this point, the king enters and he tells Jane that his love for her has grown and that she will soon be next to him at the altar and she will have a husband, a scepter, and a throne. And when he leaves, Jane worries about how her decision will affect the queen, but decides that the affair has gone too far now to stop it. The next day, Anna's brother, a surprised Lord Rochford, meets previously exiled Lord Richard Percy, who has been recalled to court. Percy asks if the rumors are true about the queen's unhappiness and that the king has changed his feelings towards her. Rochford responds that love is never content. And as huntsmen enter, Percy becomes agitated at the prospect of seeing Anna, who was his first love. The king and queen then enter and express surprise at seeing Percy. The king does not allow Percy to kiss his hand, but says that the queen has assured him of Percy's innocence. However, she also still has feelings for Percy. The king tells his officer, Hervey, to spy on both the queen and Percy at all times. Then later at Windsor Castle, close to the queen's apartments, Smeaton takes out a locket from his breast containing Anna's portrait. He has stolen it and he has come to return it. He hears a sound and hides behind a screen. The queen and Rochford enter. Rochford asks Anna to meet Percy. He then leaves, and Smeaton peeps out from behind the screen but cannot escape. Percy enters then and says that he sees that Anna is still is very unhappy. And she tells him that the king now loathes her. Percy says that he still loves her. Anna tells him not to speak to her of love. And before leaving, Percy asks whether he can see Anna again. And she says no. He draws his sword to stab himself, and Anna starts to scream. In the mistaken belief that Percy is attacking Anna, Smeaton rushes out from behind the screen. And then Smeaton and Percy are about to fight, and Anna faints, and Rochford then rushes in the melee. Just then, the king also enters and sees the unsheathed swords. And summoning attendants, he says that these persons have betrayed their king, and Smeaton says that this is not true. He tears open his tunic to offer his breast to the king for slaying if he is in fact lying. The locket, however, with Anna's portrait, falls to the king's feet at that moment. And the king snatches it up. He then orders that the offenders be dragged to dungeons, and Anna, in her own horror, says to herself that her fate is at last sealed. The king has found the proof he was looking for to end their marriage. So here we are now at last at the first act and the first scene of Donizetti's Anna Bolena. Enjoy.
Thank you. Suo passaggio offrirmi quando la caccia è nuova è mio consiglio. Dopo si lungo esilio respirar l'aura antica e il ciel mattio ad ogni cuore dolce amaro al mio. Ravvisarti pronto io non fossi. Non è duolo il mio che in fronte appaia, ma donato è tutto nel cor profondo. Io non ardisco, amico, della tua suora avventurare inchiesta.
Ella è regina, ogni sua gioia è questa.
E il ver parlò la fama, ella è infelice, il re mutato.
Ed ora amor contento mai.
Privo di spere come vive il mio.
S'ha messo palla
e che tener d'agire. Da quel dì che lei disperato in bando andai, da quel dì che il mar passai, la mia morte cominciò. Ogni luce me muta, dai viventi o mi divisi, ogni terra ovvio m'assisi, la mia tomba mi sembrò, ogni terra ovvio m'assisi, la mia tomba mi sembrò, ogni terra ovvio m'assisi, la mia tomba mi sembrò, la mia tomba, la mia tomba mi sembrò.
E venisca a far peggiore il tuo stato a lei vicino, e venisca a far peggiore il tuo stato a lei vicino.
Senza mente, senza cuore, c'è che io seguo il mio destino. No, pur talvolta in cuore si fiero, mi sorride nel pensiero. La certezza che i fortuna i miei mali vendicò. Certezza che fortuna i miei mali vendicò, la certezza che fortuna i mali vendicò, i miei mali, i miei mali.
così nei libri denti del primier felice amore palpitar senti fa il cuore nel dover nel dover la rivedere di quei doci e bei momenti c'è il pietoso sonni rendi poi la vita mi riprendi per più amore di piacer sì per più amore di piacer poi la vita mi riprendi per più amore
Oh, Thank you. fra l'ardimento mio. giusto momento ti piaccia udirlo. Alcun periglio il greli correr non vuoi, ben si lo corri è grave, se fai col tuo rigore che vuol soverchi ogni ragione in lui.
Signor Primiero, e non t'avore il re. Tabore, io t'amo ancora. stato. Qual t'amava in basso stato?
io cadrò se tu lo chiedi, ma che resti mi concedi solamente a sospiro. Presso a te mi fia contento il soffrire ed il penor. Presso a te, presso a te, sì, presso a te mi fia contento.
Al mistero, al disfatto, al disordia. Hey Kingston, looking to conserve water and save money? Utilities Kingston is once again offering its popular repurposed rain barrels. They help conserve treated water, reduce your environmental impact, and give new life to materials that might otherwise end up in a landfill. Rain barrels are $80, including delivery, and are sold at cost to support sustainable water conservation. Order yours today at utilitieskingston.com/rainbarrels.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licht in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Your future starts now. Explore future career and educational opportunities at the Thursday, September 24th Career and Further Education Fair. Drop by the main gym of the Athletics and Recreation Center anytime between 10:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. Meet in person with employers and representatives from graduate and professional education programs. While you're there, get a free professional headshot at the LinkedIn photo booth. This event is open to all FIN students of all years.
My name is Aria. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Flat Baroque and our presentation of selections from the London Symphony Orchestra and John Aldiss Choir's 1972 performance of Gaetano Donizetti's Anna Bellina. We're now entering Act Two, set in London. Here, Enrico, or King Henry VIII, has imprisoned the Queen, Anne Boleyn, in her London apartment. Lady Giovanna, or Jane Seymour, arrives to help the Queen escape her impending execution and tells the Queen that if she confesses her love for Percy, the King will grant her freedom, giving him cause for divorce. This is all the King wants, she says. The Queen, loyal to her duties and marriage oath, refuses and wishes her successor a crown of thorns, unbeknownst that Jane is the object of the King's current affections. Jane, then full of guilt, reveals that she is the King's secret lover. Queen Anna is furious, but finally calms down when Jane convinces her that the King is the guilty one here. At a meeting of the Council of Peers, hoping to save the Queen, Smeaton falsely testifies that he has had relations with her. Unknowingly, Smeaton sets the Queen's fate in stone. Percy and Anna are brought into the Council's antechamber separately. Percy claims that he and Anna were married prior to her marriage with the King, but the King does not believe him. Anna pleads with the King to keep this news from the public eye, but is ready to give up her life. Jane fights for Queen Anna's life, but the King ignores her. The King dismisses everyone, and the Council decides to execute all three of them, as well as dissolving the King's marriage to the Queen. And in the last scene of Act Two, within Queen Anne's cell in the Tower of London, her stress and grief have caused her to become delirious, and she frantically recalls her past memories with Percy. Percy and Smeaton are then brought into her cell, and Smeaton begs her for forgiveness. She looks down at Smeaton in bewilderment and asks him why he isn't playing his music. Moments later, the sounds of cannons are heard, signaling the King's new marriage. Queen Anne snaps out of her temporary delirium and then curses the King, and full of pride, she then marches to her own execution with her head held high. So here we are now at Act 2, Scene 1 of Donizetti's Anna Bolina.